This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com. And then I saw her
face. Speaking of movies, Bruce Sanborn, filmmaker, screenwriter, director, live from Los Angeles, joins us on occasion for our Hollywood Entertainment Update. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, Coy. How are you?
Very good. The weather in LA?
It's always been one of the biggest complaints about Charlottesville that I had was that there's no theaters with stadium seating and surround sound.
And which makes a big difference.
It's huge.
Yeah.
All the theaters out here have it.
Really?
You know, every theater you go to. And out here we have these things called the Arclight, which is state-of-the-art theaters with phenomenal sound systems and brand new prints and huge 70-millimeter screens. It's nice.
What's a movie ticket cost in L.A.?
Depends on which theater you go to and what time of day. They range from about $7 to about $25.
$25?
Well, that's for special screenings at exclusive, like, premier IMAX events.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know, the average is around $10.
Now, what's the weather like out there right now?
Oh, it's kind of nice, you know. I just washed my car, so it's probably going to rain. But it was a little bit overcast today. It's been a little on the chilly side all week, and it's, you know, about 65 degrees.
There you go. Bruce Sanborn, live from Los Angeles.
I love the fact that I'm saying that that's chilly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, oh, wow, it's really cold today. It's 65.
So, well, we're actually a little warmer than you. We're up in the mid-70s today.
Yeah.
How about that?
But it was 65 degrees here in January.
Yeah, this is true. Bruce, so, new movies coming out.
We got a couple of big ones that are opening this opening tonight, actually opening it today. They've already started running up. Obviously, the big one is Wolverine. It's the continuation of the X-Men sequels. This one stars Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, the guy with the plutonium or uranium claws coming out of his hands, et cetera, et cetera.
And this movie is like the backstory of his life, right?
It's called Origins, and this is he just sort of appeared in the first X-Men, and they've alluded to what his past may have been like. This actually goes back and tells you exactly what happened.
Now, what do you know about this movie? Is it any good?
Well, there have been a couple of problems with this. I remember it was either the last time we talked or the time before that how someone had released a version of Wolverine online, and it was an incomplete version without some of the special effects, without some of the music, et cetera, et cetera. It wasn't completely edited. Titles and credits weren't done. And between then and now, there have been almost 1 million downloads of this movie, obviously illegal downloads, but people who wanted to see it, you know, would not be dissuaded. So the big question is, would that translate into people not going to the theaters? 1 million people watching it online instead of paying to see it in the theater is a huge number of people. So you figure they've already scaled back their expectations for it, even recently, just in the last 48 hours, when the reviews started coming out for it, and the reviews have been, you know, pretty much universally not good, let's say.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder why. Because X-Men, that was a good movie.
It's not a very good movie. You know, who knows? But, you know, it's a big action flick, and they don't necessarily, that doesn't necessarily translate into not being good box office. But between the two, originally they were saying it would be grossing over $100 million for the weekend. Now they've scaled that back to 80. Now they've 2 days ago. Now they've scaled it down to about 75 million. But just last night they had the midnight movies at 2,000 theaters in the U.S. and it opened. Just the screenings for the midnight movies brought in $5 million, which is huge. So maybe it'll do a lot better than they think it will do. It is also the widest release in Fox history. It's opening at almost 4,100 theaters in North America, and 9,000 prints internationally in 101 markets. Now, the thing about this is they're not screening it in Mexico this weekend.
Why?
Because of the swine flu.
Oh, they don't want to bring people out.
Well, Mexico is pretty much shut down. They don't want people in, you know, enclosed spaces sitting together coughing on each other in Mexico right now.
Yeah.
You know, so, hey, bring the kids. Yeah, especially the one who's, you know, real pale, tasty and pale.
We're talking with Bruce Sanborn, live from Los Angeles. Another movie coming out is one that I loved the preview for, and that's Star Trek, which, you know, again, another backstory.
Yeah, this is done by J.J. Abrams, who, you know, we will get to J.J. Abrams in Lost eventually, but he is the hot director-producer of the moment. He's done a couple of films that came out of nowhere and were huge hits. Last year he did a film called Cloverfield about a weird alien, but it was the execution of that film was really, really well done.
Did you see that movie, Bruce?
Yes, I did.
I didn't see it, but I saw the preview. It looked scary. Was it any good?
It was, for what it was a very good film. You know, Pauline Kael, always the brilliant film critic in New York for decades, she said that each film must be judged on its own as far as did it accomplish its goal, its individual goal. Not is this a better movie than Lawrence of Arabia or Casablanca? You know, just
right.
Did this film do what it was supposed to do?
Yeah.
What it set out to do. And I would say that Cloverfield accomplished its goal. It did what it set out to do.
And what did you mean the execution of the film?
Well, sometimes, you know, if it's a comedy and it's not funny, then it didn't do its job. If it's a drama and it's not dramatic,
right,
it didn't do its job. If any film is boring, then it didn't do its job.
And this was a scary movie that, if I hear you right, it was scary.
It was scary. Well, it was an interesting film because it was all told from the point of view of the characters using handheld cameras.
Uh-huh.
So it was very difficult to shoot and to get that tracked properly. I mean, but it was also a really nifty idea. And it was about, you know, a giant alien that attacks New York City while these group of friends are having a party.
So
the night, how they try to escape from it, et cetera, et cetera.
So the guy behind Cloverfield is also the guy behind the new Star Trek movie.
Behind the new Star Trek movie and the TV series Lost.
Okay, and we want to
now,
talk about Lost.
Star Trek movie, again, is going back to the very, very beginning, which no other Star Trek movie has done, where they actually, it's their very first voyage, Captain Kirk, you know, just his getting into the Academy, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a terrific preview. But whether it holds up as a film is something else entirely.
Have you heard anything about it?
I have not, but I haven't really been paying attention. I try not to as much as possible, because if it's a film that I want to see, I want to judge it on my merits, not on the merits of, you know, what everyone is talking about.
Right, and
so
that opens
a big disappointment for me when I finally went to see Slumdog Millionaire, was that everyone had been talking it up so much that, and granted, it's a fine film, but there's no way it could live up to the hype. Because everyone, oh, it's the greatest movie ever made. Oh, it's absolutely fantastic. When I saw it, it's a very good film. But it's not the greatest movie ever made, and I really, you know, I liked it, but I didn't like it that much.
And if I remember right, your pick for Best Picture would have been WALL-E.
Was WALL-E.
Which
yeah.
would have been mine. I didn't see any of the other ones. I only saw WALL-E, but I loved WALL-E. That was fantastic.
Yeah, well, it was a terrific film. Anyhow, they had the premiere for Star Trek, the new Star Trek movie, the other night, and a minor screw up here. The events company that was putting it together, they had a little problem with the scheduling. They told the catering company that the event was going to be taking place at a different location from where it actually was taking
place. God.
And they told them it was on a different day.
Oh no!
So the catering so they had, you know, close to 2,000 people showing up for this after party, and there's nothing there, and nobody there, and nothing. So they sent all of the production assistants, anybody they could get their hands on. They went and they bought everything there was to buy at Whole Foods.
Wow!
And it was
so they threw together a reception really quick,
really fast. You know, in about 3 hours they had to pull it all together. But that was, you know, when you're doing big stuff that's high profile like that, you got to get it together.
Yeah, you don't make mistakes.
You don't make mistakes like that.
Right, right. See, I'm sure somebody might have lost a job there.
Not just the wrong day, but the wrong place.
Now, Wolverine opens today. This new Star Trek movie actually opens a week from today.
Yes. Well, and then there's also this other film opening, Ghosts of Girlfriends Past, with Matthew McConaughey opens today.
What's that?
And the expectations, it's a comedy with Matthew McConaughey. It's about this guy whose ex-girlfriends who've all died, apparently, are haunting him.
Oh, great.
And while he's trying to romance some new girl. It sounds really dumb.
Yeah. It does.
Okay. I don't know. I really don't understand how this stuff gets made. I do not understand. It just absolutely baffles me that this is what they think. Anyhow, as I told you, the expectations for Wolverine over the weekend is about $75 million. The expectations for Ghost of Girlfriend's Past is $18
million. $18 million. There you go.
Yeah, so you can tell who's sucking up all the oxygen here.
Yeah. Bruce, let me...
Incidentally, of online ticket sales, 65% of them are for Wolverine.
Wow. Gosh, so that is definitely the big movie of the weekend.
Yes.
No question about it. Bruce, I have to tell you, I recently discovered a TV show. Now, I don't have TV, but I do watch some stuff online, and I finally downloaded the ABC player, and I started watching Lost a few weeks ago, and I'm somewhere around early season 4, and right now they're towards the end of season 5 in real time, but I'm, you know, back in season 4, but I have to tell you, it is riveting, and it is one of the best things I've ever seen come out of television. It's just fantastic.
It is. It's a very, very popular show. One of the problems with the show is the problem that these programs have with story arcs, which are long term arcs that run over several years, several seasons. Is that if you didn't get in at the very beginning, it's a little hard to get up to speed. But it's easier, as you just pointed out, you've been watching it online.
Yeah.
And with the DVDs. It's a lot easier now than it was before, you know, the internet and before video and DVD came around.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, no one would ever dare do that because no one could ever get caught up. But that being said, it's a terrific show, and I would like to proudly say, a good friend of mine is one of the stars on the show, and in fact has won Emmys for being on the show.
Really?
Yes.
No,
see,
I didn't.
He won an Emmy for being on The Practice, and he also won an Emmy for Lost.
Who is he?
His name is Michael Emerson. He plays Ben.
Ooh, scary Ben.
The evil, bad
So
man.
You know Ben? Oh, that's pretty amazing. Let's see, all now, you now, LA people sort of hang out
together.
The thing
about Michael is, you know, he plays probably the most evil character in the history of television, and that is exactly the opposite of who he is in real life. I have to say, yeah, his arc, if you ever wanted somebody to be successful, a good guy to make it in show business, Michael is the guy.
So he's
because
just...
he's the nicest, most down-to-earth, most relaxing, real guy you're ever going to want to meet. And he was, I met him when I was living in New York, and he was just like all the rest of us, you know, trying to get parts here, trying to get parts there, you know, struggling, and he got cast in a little show at a 50-seat theater off Broadway, and the show was about Oscar Wilde. Well, the New York Times was theater critic, was supposed to see another show that night, and for some reason decided not to go to that and went to this other Oscar Wilde show that Michael was starring in, and the next day wrote an absolutely rave review. Well, that show just took off, and he toured in that show around the United States for 2 years. That opened the door for agents to see him. That opened the door for casting directors to see him. And all of a sudden, he started getting bigger and bigger, bigger parts. The last time I saw him on stage, he was starring in Anna Christie on Broadway. And he now has the luxury of bouncing between the two. When Lost is on hiatus, where they're not shooting, he takes off for New York and does live theater. And he pretty much has the pick of whatever show he wants, because he's a very well-known name now in New York theater.
Yeah, and who doesn't know Ben on Lost?
I'm sorry?
Who doesn't know Ben on Lost?
Yeah, exactly. But the problem is that you don't want to get typecast too much. If you're too good at it, then that's, you know, all you can be. So he continually does low-budget features and bit parts in other major motion pictures, just to keep his hand in it, just to keep his face out there, so that, you know, people will continually see him in other lights.
Yeah, yeah.
He is one of the funniest actors. He is a brilliant comedic actor.
Wow. Well,
but obviously, playing Ben, you don't really get to do.
No, you don't see that. You don't see that on Lost. When he plays Ben. That's pretty cool. We're talking with Bruce Sanborn live from Los Angeles for our Friday Hollywood Fix. And Bruce, there is breaking news about Disney. Is that right?
Well, it's been in the works for a while now, but now it's really becoming official. Disney is buying into Hulu. Now, if you don't know what Hulu is, just think back to the Super Bowl with that brilliant TV commercial with Alec Baldwin. Taking Over the World,
yeah.
You know, turning your brain into mushy mush. Yeah. Really, really funny act. Well, Disney is now buying into it. They'll buy 27% of Hulu for less than $35 million, and they will now put full ABC episodes on the site. Up to this point, it's been Hulu has been has only had NBC and Fox material because they're the ones who bought into it. So this adds all of the ABC material, and we'll see how much more of the Disney product they want to put in.
See,
there.
This is huge.
Will expand.
Yeah, this is huge.
I mean, shows like Scrubs, Private Practice, Jimmy Kimmel Live, etc., ABC Family, Soapnet,
or Lost
films,
or Lost.
Lost.
Yeah. This is huge, and I actually, on this program, I've been a Hulu fan for a while, and I've recommended it to people like myself who, you know, I don't have cable, I don't have satellite, what I get online.
Well, I don't either, I don't have TV.
But Hulu
and
is
I
a
watch
great...
Everything. I either watch it online or I watch it on DVD.
Yeah.
That way I can watch what I want, when I want, without having the, you know, to be annoyed by TV commercials or timing.
Yeah, and Hulu is like the one-stop shop, a great resource online if you want to watch some TV or movies. They got a bunch of movies, too.
Yeah, well, the downside to it is that it is limited to a degree. You know, if you're a member of Netflix, you've got 85,000 titles of movies and TV shows you can watch. You know, whereas Hulu, although it's free and online, they have far less material. But most people don't, you know, aren't such movie weenies like me, that they want to see, you know, Ali Fear Eats the Soul, you know, by Fassbinder. You know, they want to see, you know, 30 Rock. Well, you go on Hulu, you can see 30 Rock.
You can see The Office, 30 Rock, King of the Hill. That's what
yep.
I look for.
Yep.
Hulu.com, HULU.com.
And we are not getting paid. I'm not even getting paid for this.
Nope. I'll give you a bell.
Okay.
Bruce Sanborn, live from Los Angeles for a Hollywood Fix. Anything else we need to know?
Just one little quick note. Remember, we've been talking about the Screen Actors Guild and Alan Rosenberg and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. He's been stalling for almost a year now on settling the SAG walkout. Not effective walkout. It's not a walkout, but they don't have a contract, and no one is doing a lot of major projects because of this. He wants to go out on strike. The SAG membership voted to replace his negotiating team. He still hasn't gotten the message. He's now running a slate of candidates that are pro-strike candidates who are going to be voting, that would vote for strike authorizations in the negotiations. And anyhow, the ballot schedule is now out, so mark your calendars. The deadline for the receipt of the voted ballots is Tuesday, June 9th at 5 p.m.
The date of the...
We will find out if Alan Rosenberg is going to get to continue with his insane campaign to make sure that in the midst of the worst economic crisis in American history, that the entire entertainment industry gets shut down.
Because he wants to strike?
Because he wants to strike. The man's a moron. Hey, let's put more people out of work.
So what
That's
could happen?
A really good move.
So what do you want to happen on June 9th?
I would like to see what happened a couple of months ago, where the SAG membership votes to continue with the more moderate negotiators and have a group of people that are willing to work with the management and producers, as opposed to, you know, nothing but pure animosity.
And you think that's going to happen?
Yes. Yes, I really do.
Because people,
that I've talked to are...
they're tired of what this guy's doing?
They're really... He is the most hated man in Hollywood right now. Let's just put it that way. You know, nobody likes this guy. I mean, he's got about 15 friends and his mother who are on his side.
Bruce Sanborn, live from Los Angeles for our Friday Hollywood Fix. Bruce, thank you, my friend. We'll look forward to talking to you again real soon.
My pleasure, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.